Now, today is Rath Yatra Day in Antwerp, and I have two shlokas to comment on. Because the shloka that they wrote in the board, it doesn't have any purport. And I'm going to recite the next one. The next one's good anyway. So, to save time, we're not going to do any kirtan. They did a lot of kirtan already. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is June 17th. June 18th of 2011 in Radhadesh. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Verse Number 4 and Number 5. The activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Synonyms. Sa. She. Purvachiti. Cha. Also. Tat of Maharaj Agnidra, Ashrama of the place of meditation, Upavanam, the park, Ati, very, Ramaniyam, beautiful, Vivida, varieties of, Nibidha, dense, Vitapi, trees, Vitapa, of branches and twigs. Nikara, masses. Sankshlikshta, attached. Parita, golden. Lata, with creepers. Aruda, going high. Stala Vahungama, of land birds. Mithunai, with pears, Prochamana, vibrating, Shutibi, pleasing sounds, Pratibodhyamana, responding, Talila Kakuta, waterfowl, Karandava, ducks, Kalahamsa, various kinds of swans. Kalahamsa referring to the black swan, actually. Adibi, and so on. Vichitram, variegated. Upakunjita, resounding with the vibration. Amala, clear. Chala Ashaya, in the lake. Kamala Akaram, the source of lotus flowers. Upababrama, begin to walking on. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park near the place where the king was meditating and worshipping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and green golden creepers. Pairs of various birds such as peacocks and a lake where there were ducks and swans all vibrating very sweet sounds. The park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, the clear water, the lotus flowers and the sweet singing, the various kinds of birds. Text number 5. Tasya, of her Purvachiti. Sulaita, in a very beautiful. Gamana, movements. Paravinyasta, with styles of walking. Gati, in the procession. Vilasaya, whose pastime. Cha, also. Anupadam, with every step. Kanakanayamana, making a tinkling sound. Ruchira, very pleasing. Chana Abharana, of the ornaments on the feet. Svanam, the sound. Upakarnya, hearing. Naradeva Kumara, the prince. Samadhi, an ecstasy. Yogena, by controlling the senses. Amilita, half open. Nayana, eyes. Nalina, of lotus. Mukula, buds. Jugalam, like a pear. Ishat, slightly. Vikachaya, opening. Vyachashta, saw. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As Purvachitti passed by on the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments on her ankles tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnidra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes. When he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. Purport. It is said the yogis always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, Verse 1. This is also quoted in the Gita Dhyanam, last shloka, shloka number 9. Same verse. Supreme Personality of Godhead is always observed by yogis who practice controlling their venomous senses. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, yogis should practice sampraksha nasikagram, keeping their eyes half open. Sampraksha nasikagram is mentioned in chapter 5, verse number 28. This is 6th chapter, Dhyana Yoga. Samprakshanasigagram from Dishishchanavalokayan Prasantatma Vigata Abhi Brahmachari Pratistata Manasamyamya Machato Yuktayasita Matpara. It's somewhere around chapter 6, somewhere around 18 or so. If the eyes are closed completely, there will be a tendency to sleep. So-called yogis sometimes practice a fashionable form of yoga, closing their eyes and meditating. But actually, we have seen such so-called yogis sleeping and snoring while meditating. It's not the practice of yoga. To actually practice yoga, he should keep his eyes half open and gaze at the tip of the nose. Although Agnidra, the son of Priyavarta, was practicing mystic yoga and trying to control his senses, the tinkling sound of Purvachitti's ankle bells served his practice. Yoga Indriya Samyama. Actually, yoga practice means controlling the senses. One must practice mystic yoga to control the senses. But the sense control of a devotee who fully engaged in the service of the Lord with his purified senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, can never be disturbed. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati therefore stated, Durdanta Indriya Kala Sarpa Patali Putakata Dangstrayate, Chaitanya Chandramata 5. The translation is not given there. The wicked senses, the wicked durdanta, the wicked teeth of the senses, are the black snakes. The teeth of the black snakes, the wicked teeth of the senses of the black snakes, are forcibly broken. Putkata dumstrayate. The practice of yoga is undoubtedly good because it controls the senses, which are like venomous serpents. When one engages in devotional service, however, employing all the activities of the senses in service of the Lord, the venomous quality of the senses is completely nullified. Explain that the serpent is to be feared because of its poison fangs. But if those fangs are broken, the serpent, although it seems very fearsome, is not at all dangerous. Devotees, therefore, may see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women, fascinating bodily movements and gestures, but not be alert, whereas such women would make ordinary yogis fall. Even the advanced yogi, Vishwamitra, broke his mystic practice to unite with Menaka and begot a child named Shakuntala. The practice of mystic yoga, therefore, is not sufficiently strong to control the senses. Another example is Prince Agnidra, whose attention was drawn to the movements of Purvachiti, the Apsara, simply because he heard a tinkling of Ranku bells. In the same way that Vishwamitra Muni was attracted tinkling bangles of Menaka, Prince Agnidra, upon hearing the tinkling bangles of Purvachiti, immediately opened his eyes to see her beautiful movements as she walked. The prince was also very handsome, as described herein. His eyes were like the buds of lotus flowers. As he opened his lotus-eyed eyes, he could immediately see the Apsaras present by his side. Vrindavani Ramanareti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Snanam Param Parama Krishna Sutarma Chuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Dukkha Jalado Pratitasya Karma Krodadi Nakrama Kavai Kavalikrita Syadura Vashanani Gaditasya Narasrayasya Chaitanya Chandrama Madehe Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno, Gopavesha Kishoro, Sahacharaganibrindai, Kridamana Vijesho, Natabarajitavesho, Nilapitam Baradyo, Jagadajan and Heto, Ramakrishna Rato Asmi, Manchakalpatur Bishakripa, Sundipa, Chapaditana, Pagani, Biovishna Vibuna Monama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when you take these two slokas together, she began strolling in a beautiful garden near the place where the king was meditating and worshiping. The park was beautiful because of its wonderful qualities. And then it's described that as she was walking by in a beautiful style, then although Prince Agnidra was trying to control his senses, she could see her with his lotus-like eyes, and when he heard the sweet sounding of her bangles, he opened his eyes more and could see that she was nearby. So it's described about the way she was attracting him. First of all, Cupid has five arrows described in the 11th canto: sight, touch, smell, sound, and speech. These are five arrows. And they shoot. And they shoot at everyone in the conditioned stage in the material world. Thus, Cupid keeps them in the material world. That's the idea. Now, who is the transcendental Cupid? The transcendental Cupid is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, the transcendental Cupids are Gaura and Nitai. And they are attractive to all women and all living entities. And in their form in Dwapara Yuga is Krishna and Balarama. They have a different mood, slightly different mood. But they are also transcendental Cupids, and they are Surata Pravina, very expert in loving affairs. Narahari was attractive, but he was in a heavy, intense mood. And his wife, Lakshmi Devi, never saw her husband like that, so she was scared to death when he was angry at Hiranyakasipu. Narayana is described to be extremely beautiful and faces very attractive, and his Mahishis, his queens, worship him with buds of tulsi leaves on the bank of crystal clear ponds, in whom their reflection can be seen, and the faces of the queens have become beautified by the kissing of Narayana, is described in 3rd Canto, chapter 15, verse 22. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Transcendental Cupid, and his servants, headed by Radhika, are their qualities give him mohit. Therefore, she is known as Madana Mohana Mohini, she who bewilders the activities of Madan Mohan. His Madana is Cupid, and Mohan is who bewilders. But she is one who, by her 25 transcendental qualities, bewilders even the mind of Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, as I mentioned before, it was not enough to engage the five working senses in the service of God and the five knowledge-acquiring senses according to your nature. That was the beginning of bhakti, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, Bhaktaruchate, from Padma Purana. Rather, more important, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amritavani says, one should engage the mind in thinking of Krishna, the tongue in vibrating the glories of Krishna while you work. Then the service becomes Parivabhita, transcendental mood. And that transcendental mood is what Krishna takes. It is not the item. It is not the work. It is the love. Because the item is always degradable in Kali Yuga. It simply gets worse and worse and worse. And the work is good and degrading. Like that, by the nature of work. But the love is the essence. The why you do it. The motivation why you do it. That is increased by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The glories of the Lord are none different from Him. When you chant on it and you meditate on those glories, then those glories enter your heart and purify you of every contamination of the heart. Krishna is the transcendental Cupid, and His glories are what steals the heart. So, therefore, because Krishna is the transcendental Cupid, we can engage everybody, male and female, in the service of the personality of Godhead, according to their taste. However, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, kama nira kama nahi tava dhamma. The desires to enjoy women, kama nira, one who invokes desire, kama nira kama, the desire to enjoy those who invoke desire, nahi tava dhamma, this is not your abode. He says there, it belongs to Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune, belongs to him. Knowing that, we invite all living entities as Prakriti, nature of the Supreme Lord, to serve the Supreme Lord and run to the Supreme Lord with your qualities, with your service, and render service for Him to attract you. Well, we should remember that we are the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we must not, because conditioned nature is very dangerous, we must protect ourselves from becoming attracted to the thing. Every devotee. Now, we'll tell you a trick. We have the Urdhva Pundra, the tilak, on the forehead, marking the body as a temple of God. So everybody in any sex, any gender, has this tilak on the forehead. That means that this person is the property of Vishnu. So when a devotee, the eyes are the cynosure of a body. And this is one of the arrows that Cupid uses, sight. So if you're attracted to the eyes of the opposite sex, when you see the tilak in between the eyes, that is supposed to chasten your mind. This person belongs to Vishnu, and I have to respect them. As a servant of Lord Vishnu, I have to protect their mind. They may have conditioning. That's all right. But it's my duty to utilize that conditioning in the service of Lord Vishnu. And nahi tava dhamma, it is not my abode. It is not my quota. The reality is, even if it was your quota, even if that personality needed, like Maharaj Agnidra needed a wife. Brahmaji knew it. He sent this girl, and Maharaj Agnidra was very expert in flattering words and sweet words. He was very handsome also, and he attracted the girl to become his wife, and she did so, and they had 9 children, and then later on she went back to Brahma after she had those 9 children. Probably was enough for her. And like that. The reality is, no one in this material world can satisfy the living entity. outside of giving them the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when we see in the material world that the living entity is disappointed in chastity and faithfulness in the material world, seeing it's that the ideal circumstances mentioned in the Vedas are not so much manifested these days. Therefore, teams, husband-wife teams, etc., etc., can be disappointed. Inasmuch as the same thing, that the children can be disappointed in the parents also, in the level of affection, the level of commitment of the parents. This happens. However, irregardless of that disappointment, if we actually try to give them the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and specifically in the relationship that that individual hankers for, Krishna and Gauranga, that individual is hankering for, then overall, even if there is a material want, a material deficiency in your ability to be a parent, in your ability to be in your role, to be a mother, or ability to be a father, the ability to be a husband, or ability to be a wife, even there may be deficiencies, material deficiencies in that. As long as the heart of the devotee is in the proper place to give Krishna to that jiva and strives to do so with body, mind, and words, then they will ultimately be forgiven. It is a fact that we have to give material necessities to the jiva. That material responsibility should not overwhelm the need to give Krishna consciousness to them. If one sees the living entity in that role as the order supplier, this is my father, he's supposed to give me everything. This is my mother, she's supposed to give me everything. Then, and forgetting that they are spirit souls, they are part and parcel of Krishna, whose main duty is to give, make sure that I have Krishna, I have Gauranga, so that I'm liberated in this life. When they forget that, then they only see the mundane side of things. And then, which can never satisfy the jiva. The jiva can only be satisfied by Krishna and by Gauranga and no one else. When you try to give that, then the jiva can tolerate the material necessities of life, which are never, you can never be satisfied no matter what you get. Even if you live in a palace, even if you have a golden spoon in your mouth, even if you eat the finest food, your heart could still be uncontent. What to speak of those who live in poverty? On the other hand, if somebody is santushed and they're satisfied within the heart, then even if they've got nothing, they live in poverty, they live in a shack with no running water, with no sewage system, like some place in India. Horrible place, man. No human being should live there. Yet they stack human beings floor by floor in those places. Everywhere. If somebody's mind and senses are controlled, your reputation follows you like your shadow. If your mind and senses are not controlled, your reputation follows you like your shadow. This is Chanakaditi. So our business is to somehow or other to control the mind and the senses. How? By singing the glories of the Lord. That will purify the heart and control the mind and senses. So that is our job. It's a fact that one former Gurukuli once told me that she was really fried with her parents. That I don't think I got a suitable love. She's an intellectual, probably the smartest of all the kids. But then I told her, Mother, you have a child on your lap now. You are a mother. Now you have to be a guru. You're the front line teacher for your children. All your lamentation should be thrown in the garbage. Now, you have to set an example. Of course, your childhood will probably, you know, affect the way you're going to respond to that duty that you have to bear now, undoubtedly. But nevertheless, the duty remains that you must give the Supreme Personality of God into that child. It's a prominent thing. It is actually part of nature that in the material world, the mother probably has more association with the child than the father does. If that role is there, whichever spouse's the role is there, the breadwinner, makes all the money, then the other spouse is going to spend more time with the children. It's nature. It's the nature of things. So, in Indian culture, it was very... In Eastern India, it's very maternalistic. And in Western India, it's very paternalistic. Western, Northern, Southern. Very paternalistic. Therefore, we see some big businessmen. They would give philanthropy in their old age, middle age, in the name of their mother. Why? Because their mother did the most to push them to achieve their potential more than anybody else. So it's very interesting. Now, the idea of Prabhupada is talking about it, that yogis think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their heart. Now, Krishna understands within the heart what each and every devotee needs. So some devotees can be thankful if Krishna gives them a material situation. Other devotees see it as a mixed blessing. I need it, at the same time it controls. So it's like that. It's a mixed blessing. If I use it for the personality of Godhead, then it becomes pleasing. And it becomes pleasing to all parties involved. If I try to enjoy it, and because we're in the material world, we have a tendency to enjoy. But the demigods, they want to enjoy legitimately. By following religious principles, they want to enjoy legitimately. But the fact of the matter is, we are living in the material world, and we do not have heavenly situations here. So even if we try to enjoy it, it gives just a very, very limited fruit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings very nicely in his Gitavali, therefore, Ati tuchha bhogayase bandi hoye maya pase. For just a very insignificant short time of enjoyment, you are bound up in the ropes of illusion. So it pays. Your enjoyment pays. Now, I remember when I was in 1974, I was distributing books in the daytime in a food store because the men were working in factories or something like that. In the daytime, from 10 o'clock until 6 o'clock roughly, the only persons in the parking lots were the ladies. So that's what we were doing. We were selling books mostly to them. That's not too safe for men. They should approach men, and ladies should approach ladies. You can approach couples, but you should look at the sex that is your sex the most when you're doing it. Be careful, because otherwise butterfire works. The butterfire syndrome works. So anyway... Now, I remember about the pastime mentioned in the Bhagavatam of Kashyapa Muni telling his beloved wife, Diti, that it was an inappropriate time to have a child. He was attached to his wife. She must have been very beautiful, Diti. And therefore... He satisfied her desire and gave her a child at the wrong time, and it turned out to be Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. She lamented for that also, and the world also lamented for it. But so, how was that? Not having touched a lady's hand in my entire life, this life, and I was curious. One day, I saw a lady taking her child out of her car and to go into the food store. The child did not want to go. The child was screaming bloody murder. The lady, her eyes were knit in a frown. She was very disturbed by that. She was dragging the child into the store anyway. The child was placing his feet to try to stop that, and she was pulling him across the pavement, literally, the asphalt, going into the store, screaming like anything. And then I immediately saw and I understood she enjoyed with her husband on a Saturday night over a bottle of vodka, and this is the result. This little Shivite, this little rascal, screaming bloody murder, tormenting mother. You have to pay for that. So it's very, very delicate. Everything depends on the mentality of the parents. I talked to another God sister who's a GBC now, quite exalted lady, and she told me something very frank about household life, which I knew nothing about. She said, I have seen so many children, the parents conceive them by chanting 50 rounds. And yet, many of those children, I see, are not good devotees at all. On the other hand, so many accidents I have seen, that by association devotees, they become very good. So it is very difficult to ascertain the plan of the personality of Godhead. When she told me that, that was very enlightening, to say the speak. So, we're all accidents in one sense. We took birth. That is an accident, in a sense. That, well, nothing happens without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's sanction. But we took birth. It is a fault. It's a dosha. It is a fault that we've done. We've took birth, being offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or as devotees or by our karma. We are forced to take birth. And so in that sense, all of us have taken birth. We have equal opportunity to use or misuse our minor independence to serve Krishna or not. Our association should foment us. There's something more than that. This is the karma. These are the external situations. If you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, irregardless of your karma, you can cross. Mamevaye prapadyante mayame tam tarantite. Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 14. And if you take shelter of Krishna's spouse, I'm talking about Tulsi Rani because I do all the time, she actually can help you go beyond your karma. And that is amazing. That is literally astounding. It's game-changing. Therefore, she is addressed as Bhakti Chaitanya Karini, the cause of devotional consciousness, and Sarva Sobha Givardhani, Jai Radha Gopinathali Tavishaka Devi, Gornatai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya, Tulsi Rani, Shalaram Gam. So, as much as we absorb our mind in thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serving them, then our action will be fine. And any object of the senses that we accept because we need it, if we engage it in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to that jiva's propensities, then they'll become happy. Therefore, I'd sometimes tell people, and they also, testing it, they also agree with me, that if you cannot help your spouse get the nectar of Krishna or Gauranga that they hanker, forget your children. Because the parents have to jointly inspire the children. If you cannot inspire the children to get the Krishna or Gauranga that they want, forget your community. We're supposed to be selfless. We're supposed to help the community. But physician, heal yourself. You have to. You can only do what you do yourself. You'll be expert to teach others exactly how you do it yourself. If you can't do it, then it is lip service It doesn't get anywhere. People will not believe you. So we have to do it. The more you engage in the katha of Krishna and Gauranga that you want, then you become aloof. But it's part of your responsibility to liberate the other conditioned souls around you. If you have taken a responsibility to help somebody out, if you accepted an object of the senses as Krishna's servant, Krishna's maidservant, if you've accepted them, then you have to serve them to help them get Krishna and Gauranga. So that is affection. You're trying to help them by giving them specific. Now, Kalyani Sukham Sarve Striyo Vaishnas Tathapare. She makes people happy. Merchants, scholars, merchants, businessmen, ladies, like that, the Sanskrit says. We're not scholarly. If you take shelter of her, she can make you happy anyway. Even if you're simple-hearted. That's nice. So, we should teach people how to love them. And by loving them and chanting their glories, we make advancement beyond your karma. That is great. The most amazing thing about Krishna as his friendship with the living entities is when Krishna protects you from your conditioned nature. Or when Tulsi Rani protects you from your conditioned nature. That is great. Like I was saying, the socialistic mode was, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. So our conditioning nature is the shatru, it's the enemy. And if we can take shelter of that which is divine and serve that principle, then they will allow us to become godly. They will purify us and enter into the nature. That's what we came here for. That's what we came to the Association of Devotees for. So we should do like that. See, we have to see everything. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada was referring to the yogis always think of the personality of Godhead. See, it depends what you're thinking. We read the scriptures both day and night. I read black, whereas you read white. So it's interesting. They're meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, Agnitra is thinking, I'm meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His agent, Lord Brahma, has sent this girl to me. Just what I need for my kingdom, for my household life, like that. And they want a perfect husband. The shloka was cool. In 3.3.150 in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala, is one of Krishna's Priyanarma Sakas. He's a lobbyist who's lobbying the gopis to give up their anger with Krishna and come back to Krishna. He says, Rupa Goswami quotes it, his statement to Krishna, Spurata tarotaranga vardata nalpavela sumadura rasarupo durgama avarapara chakati yuvati jatir nimanaga tamasamutras tadiyam eva haratvam etisa vadavinaiva. He says, my dear killer of Agasura, you've expanded your loving affairs so much that you can be considered to be like the ocean, which is limitless. You cannot see it from one shore to the other. And the girls of the world, searching after the perfect lover, are just like rivers running into that ocean. Under the circumstances, all these rivers of young girls may try to change their course to flow to different directions, but ultimately they have to flow unto you. I really loved it. It's a perfect analogy. So, I was with another devotee, a teacher, and I said, we were reading Nectar Devotion together, and we stumbled on that verse, and I said, that is astounding. Where's the Sanskrit of that? We pulled it out. That was before Bhanu Swami had translated the whole thing. And then, so, there are two different wings. Every jiva is prakriti, We are feminine. We are to be enjoyed by the personality of Godhead. That's the idea. Okay? So every living entity should flow to Krishna, like the rivers flow to the sea. It's understandable like that. Next thing, from a brahmacharya's point of view, that all the girls of the world searching for a certain perfect lover will change their course. They'll go here and there. Ultimately, they can only be satisfied by running to the sea. Means any husband will try to do their work, they're ultimately doomed to fail. No matter what you give them. If that Vaishnavi is extremely advanced, she can analyze it, it's my karma. If the personality who they've accepted as their husband pushes them to get Krishna and Gauranga, this is called Shiv Parvati Samvad. Following in the footsteps of Shiva and Parvati in the Padma Purana. When they do that, getting the Krishna and Gauranga that they want, I'm blessed. It's the best I could get in the material world. It was my karma. Krishna actually blessed me. It's the best I could get. I couldn't get anything better than that when I think of the whole karma. Like that. So it's that's the idea. Otherwise, we're all doomed to fail. The jiva could only be happy when they get shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and Gauranga. That is our business. And otherwise, you can never give materially what the body requires. But the living entity, if they're santushed, they can tolerate it. And really, we saw by the preaching mission in the 70s, in the 80s, we've seen it, that even if your material circumstances are very not suitable, if Krishna and Gauranga is the goal, then you can tolerate a lot. The living entities can tolerate an awful lot. We must note, however, that although the living entities can short-term tolerate an awful lot, they do require stability. They do require... Krishna wants also to give his devotees a very nice situation. Krishna likes that. Also, he takes pleasure in that. So if something is deficient, then sometimes devotees lament. If only I had this, if only I had that. And Krishna is simply waiting for an opportunity to serve his devotee. So he provides it. Take that. Now, when Krishna provides something, we have to think. This is a double-edged sword. If I grab this material desire, this facility offered by Krishna, will it increase my taste for him, for his service, or not? Or is it a deviation? It's difficult to get the answer. If you require it, it is Krishna's arrangement. This is why some person says, this is Krishna's arrangement, you should accept it. Another person says, it is a double-edged sword. It is desirable, but it is very sharp. So, I was telling one devotee about that shloka, 6th canto, chapter 19, verse number 41. I think it is 41, 42. Kashyapa is talking about his beautiful wife's desire to get a child who could kill Indra. It's not good for her, not good for the universe. She's not to be criticized, he says in 41. It's her nature. They want revenge. Indra's killed so many of her children. She's disturbed by that. She wants revenge. But I'm to be condemned because I allowed this girl to control my senses. I'm to be condemned. Then the next shloka he says, which is a real eye-opener. He's thinking these shlokas, and it's written in the Bhagavatam. He's only thinking them. Sharada Padmoksavam Vaktram. Faces as beautiful as the lotus flower blossoming in the autumn season. Vachastra Shravanamritam. The speech is extremely sweet and pleasing to hear. Hridaya Kshuradharabham. If you study the heart, it is very sharp as a razor. Srinam Kovita Chesitam. Who can understand the mind of a woman? When I saw that in 1984, I was thinking, my God, This man is married to 13 of Daksha's daughters, highly qualified, skilled, trained, top etiquette girls, highly qualified. No girl in the material world now would ever be able to come close. He's got such nice wives, such high class. And he says, who can understand their mind? Everybody in the world will have to raise their hands and say, I give up. If you, who's married 13 of them, if you can't understand their mind, forget it. Everybody else has to say, forget it. We'll never be able to understand it. What we do understand from Shastra, however, is every jiva's mind has to go to Krishna and serve Krishna. To the extent they do that, they become wonderful. Like Sriji, Radharani is the best because her mind never deviates from Krishna. She worships Krishna the best. And her servants try to serve that mood of Radhika like that. But nobody can come as close as she's got. But they try to serve. That's the idea. And that mood of Radhika is everywhere in Vrindavan, regardless of the relationship that you think is great for you, best for you, amongst the coward boys, amongst the mothers and fathers of Krishna, amongst the servants of Krishna, like that, amongst the trees and the cows, the plants, all Radhika's mood in different phases is manifested there. So this is the idea, is that, and if we love Krishna in that way, then Krishna will accept us exactly as we want, as we hanker. This is in Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 19. Whichever way my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. That is my nature. Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes Krishna as saying, Krishna does that. The crux for us is this, that Krishna will reciprocate out of his kindness. Is he getting pleasure? That's the question. Is he getting pleasure from what I offer him? That's the question. I'm getting pleasure when Krishna reciprocates with me according to the way I hanker. I get pleasure. But does Krishna get pleasure from my service? That we have to think. Therefore, their impetus is always to increase it, to increase the intensity, to increase the quality, because the doubt in the heart is, will Krishna actually get pleasure from that? There's always room to improve. There's always room to upgrade, because the anxiety I've got in my heart is that, well, my work pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when Satyaraj Khan in Madhya Leela chapter 15, verse number 103, he says, look, I am a householder in this material world. What practices should I do? Please say it with your lotus mouth and instruct me. And Gauranga said, Krishna Seva Vaishnava Sevan and Nirantara Koro Harinama Sankirtan. He said, serve Krishna often as much as you can and serve the Vaishnavas and chant Krishna's name constantly. Then Satyaraj Khan asked in shloka number 105, how will I recognize such a Vaishnava? What are the qualities? Gauranga said, anyone who wants to, likes to chant Hare Krishna in a group of people is a Vaishnava, the lowest denominator. Goes on, talks about the glories of the holy name, etc. And shlokas 108, 109, 110, like that. Go on. Next year, Satyaraj Khan comes back to Gauranga in Puri. And he says, how do I recognize a Vaishnava? Gauranga says, one who has accepted initiation, serving the deity and the devotees, they're Vaishnavas, offer them your head. The next year, he says, how do I recognize a Vaishnava? Gauranga says, one who studies the scriptures, knowledgeable in the scriptures, they're Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. He says, serve them. A year later, he asks, how do I recognize them? Gauranga says, they're not even externally aware. They're so absorbed in Shastra, they're not even externally aware. These are devotees in this world. So Gauranga was describing literally, the first one is the simplest one, which is what we're doing every day by the contact with the public. Anyone who likes to chant Hare Krishna in a group of people, these are devotees. Just try to, they say something nice about devotees. Say something nice about Krishna, right? Yeah, all right, good person, yukta, can be purified. Good, right? That's it. Next one, they've taken initiation, they're serving the devotees. Offer them your head. That's another devotee, we respect them. Third, they're scholarly, they're knowledgeable in the Shastras, they control their mind and senses. Serve them, yes? Fourth, they're not even externally aware. This is what the not even externally aware is how we should be by the time we become, when the children are grown up. And when you're vanaprasthas, now it's time to go on that path of not being externally aware. Before you die, become not even externally aware. Yeah. That's described in Madhurya Kadambini chapter 2. That in Bhava and Prema, Vishwanath Chakrabartipad says, the devotees are simply dragging their material body here and there, waiting for it to drop. They're not even externally aware, he's describing. Yeah, that is a Vaishnava, that is a Vaishnavi. That is also what we have to do in bhakti, and that is also what we must give the next generation of devotees, in word and in deed. That is the goal. Very few people may attain it. Big deal. That doesn't stop us from trying to get it. That comes from becoming so absorbed in hearing and chanting, you're not even externally aware. That is actually the essence of everything. When the devotee, even if it's temporarily, even for a few minutes, we practice it. That is so neat. You become so focused on that. Everything else is inconsequential at the time. You totally forget everything. Wow, that is good. What steals your mind? See, when you're learning something as a devotee, you want to give something. When you give something that actually steals the mind, then you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I can serve my wife by giving her the nectar of Krishna consciousness. She totally forgets everything for the moment. You sync it to your mobile phone, you learn it. Thank you. So sweet. It's just so, it's so wonderful. That is good. See, that makes your relationship good. But can I give you something even further? Once I understand that nectar that you really like as a human being, can I give it further? Can I give it to you so that you will not even understand, you become so captivated by it that you enter into that and you totally forget everything else? Wow! That is really good Krishna conscious material. That is really good Krishna conscious material. It is so, has to be so attractive. It is more attractive than our distractions. We're distracted by our duties. We're distracted by our dharma, by our religious occupational duty. Huh? But when you get the nature of Krishna consciousness, you forget. It's described in Prayobhakti Rasarnava that when Krishna would play his flute, the residents of Vrindavan would forget everything, listening to the sound. But Dauji, he's Kamapala, he's a protector of transcendental desire. He plays his horn and wakes everybody up. He also plays a flute too. He's also expert. So he must also know how to mesmerize also. But his main thing is that he blows the horn, he wakes you up, and he gets you back to your service, what you have to do. It's an interesting thing. But Krishna's, when he plays his flute, Murli Manohar, it's like you just forget everything, hearing the sound vibration. That is neat. Huh? And when I was meditating on it, the more that even if Dauji knows everything, so as he's a personality of Godhead, so if he's going to wake you up, he's going to it's going to partially wake you up. You should never forget the flute music. You should never forget what stole your mind. But he'll wake you up, and you should do service in pursuit of that flute sound again, in pursuance of that which captivated the mind. Yeah, that whatever activity you do externally should be in pursuance of that nectar that made you forget the entire world. There was a guy in Radhadamodar Party whose name was Rangway Gokul. I was asking my godbrother Vaisheshika, famous preacher, about him. Rangway? Haven't seen him in 10 years. We got to find that guy. In Radhadamodar Party, he was famous as Rangway Gokul because he was a bus driver and he was memorizing shlokas as an intellectual. He was a master's degree from University of California, Berserkly. You know, everybody in that school's got to be a little nuts, you know. They are. They're very eccentric people. Eccentric intellectuals. Therefore, we call it Berserkly, you know. Everybody in that town is nuts, you know. It's a question of how much, you know. But he was, you know, intellectuals, they cannot be stopped. They can do something externally, but they just can't be stopped because they're just the way they are, you know. So he had his notes. These were the days before smartphones. He had his notes, 3-4 layers thick, post-it notes with his shlokas. And he had them all across the dashboard like this. You know, and he would speed. Some fat Irish cop would pull him over and come on the bus. What the hell is that? These are my study notes, officer. The guy would hand him his license. Try to slow down, will you? You know, you know, like this. And he would forget. He would look at his study notes and he would forget the exit. He had to get off at a certain exit to meet the brahmacharis, the preachers. And he would go like 100, 200 exits ahead and have to turn the bus around and come back and come back. And we would never think about it. You know, we were 20 years old. When you're a young puppy, you know, you think you live forever and you just don't worry about this stuff. And all of us, we come back at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, 10:30. Where in the hell is the bus? Damn, wrong way, Gokul. You know, go to sleep over your Sankirtan bag. You just crash over your Sankirtan bag. You know, like this. And when there's then the bus would come in an hour later or something, the engines would roar as he's shutting off the engine. And you stumble out of the bus, out of the van, to go back in the bus. And you're so tired. When there's a fight between sleep and food, sleep wins, you know? And you just don't care for nothing else. You just want to sleep, you know? So we didn't take any milk, wouldn't take any subject, nothing, you just crash, you know? And damn, what the hell, wrong way, Gokul. And three times a week it happened at least, you know? But we never stopped to thought. At least I didn't at the time. What made you forget all the exits? What was that verse? That you just forgot the whole material world. And you became so absorbed in that nectar that you forgot everything. What was that? So this is Durdanta Indriya Kalaptarpa Patali Purtakata Dhamstrayate. That is it. The senses are always vicious and they're always going to bite you. The dark snakes of the senses, male or female, doesn't matter. But Krishna consciousness is so powerful that these fangs will be broken. This is Durdanta Indriya Kalasarpa, but Purtakata Dhamstrayate. This is Purtakata Dhamstrayate. They become broken by that. It's wonderful. This is what Cupid is all about. This is the amazing things. Now, and the next thing, Prabhupada were talking about, if the fangs are broken, it's not at all dangerous. Devotees can see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women with fascinating bodily moods and judgment and not be alert. Whereas such women would make ordinary devoted yogis fall, it says here. Now, this is Sloka, 4th canto, chapter 22, verse number 39. Sanat Kumar is mentioning clearly that although the yogis do yoga practice, they cannot control the mind and senses as good as the devotees can. Therefore, you are recommended to worship Vasudeva, he mentions there. Wholeheartedly, throw yourself head over heels in this process. Then your mind and senses will be controlled. Then another thing, it says, it's 7th canto, chapter 15, verse 22, where Narada Rishi is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, and it says, Asankalpaj Jayeta Kaman by making plans with determination, you give up lusty desires. Kamada Krodha Vivarjayat, when you desire properly, you give up anger. Artayarta Kshaya Lobam, when you understand how much trouble it is to maintain money, then you give up greed. And Bhayam Tattva Vimarshanayat, you give up fear by embracing the truth. So in that purport, Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Saratha Darshani commentary. He says, just like an ekadasi, you make a plan. It's a ekadasi. I'm not going to eat. Then even if you see all different kinds of nice, delectable food stuff, you made a determination you're not going to eat. You can see it. It doesn't bother you. In the same way, a person whose senses are controlled can see many beautiful women and beautiful men with alluring movements. But if they're determined, I'm not going to live with one, that is the same, Vishwanath says right there. It's really good purport. Okay? This is 7:15:22, Tikka in the commentary. Very good. So this is the idea. Everything is all right if we need it for Krishna. How to utilize it in Krishna's service for my purification. It's going to Bhakti Yoga. We need it right now. That's Brahma Samhita 59 in the commentary. We may need it right now. It may be the medicine we need right now. So Krishna's giving it to us. How can I accept this responsibility in such a way that it will liberate me and not drag me down? That's the most important thing to be considered. All right. So I want to thank all the devotees that have tolerated our existence here for the last few days. We've had some good fun. And but palena parichyate, you judge something by the result. I've given a few people some information, you know, to take with them. The next thing is to dig through that information and apply it. Then you associate with that saintly person's 24/7. That's the idea. If you don't take advantage of it, what was it? Ear exercise and eye exercise. That's all. The sadhu or sadhu, they entertained you for a little while. You know, it was a good time. We had a good party, you know. It's more than that. We're meant to become mamuksha. We're meant to become liberated. She does it better than anybody else in this world. We learn her glories, take shelter of her. She'll push you according to your nature, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and make each and every one of you more wonderful than you already are. That's the idea. She can do anything for anybody, anytime she wants. It is a game-changing experience. And everybody should get that game-changing experience. Irregardless of what your service is, irregardless of what your propensity is, she can help you go beyond your karma and get Krishna and Gauranga anyway. That is astounding. Literally game-changing. I wish that for all of you. But to get that, it requires abhyasanam. You've got to get off your rear and do it. When you actually apply it, then you get the fruit. The sloka in that regard is from Jagadananda Pandit's Prem Vivarta, where he states, gorera ami, mukhe bolile na chaile, gorera achar, gorera prachar, loyale se falafale. It is not enough to say with your tongue, I am a servant of Lord Gauranga, I am a servant of Lord Gauranga. Simply speaking, it will not do. If Lord Gauranga's achar, if his example, gorera prachar, if his preaching is taken up by you, then you will understand the essential fruit. Falafale. What is that? The fruit of the fruit? It means realization. You'll understand what it is by abhyasana, by application. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm going to go take care of Krishna Balaram, who takes care of all of us. And then I'm going to go with them to Radhiyatra so that they can have fun. And the Radhiyatra will see that fun with the devotees. And then they'll take us to Amsterdam. We'll have fun there and try to serve. Yes, Prabhu.
That should be fancy from grains.
You bet. I gave that book that's also in that distribution. It was called Dearest to Vishnu. It's a PDF. When you look at that book and you read about Ekadasi, that is also another game-changing thing. Anna means, one definition is fasting from grains and beans. Why do we got to do the minimum? Prabhupada established it in the minimum for the common man. But the devotees should go a little step further. Another definition of anna is that which sustains. And when you read heavy pramanams in there, which you can read in Hari Bhakti Vilas chapter 12, it says, to have sex with your mother is good. To kill Brahmins and cows is good. And eat the flesh of cows is good. But not to eat an Ekadasi. You know what I'm saying? When said this heavy stuff, it's like, you know, it just basically scare the hell out of you. You know, it's like, wake up, stupid. You know, you can't do that overnight. But you should gravitate in that direction. And when you read more and more of it, you go like, my God, this information is phenomenal. Wait a minute. Maybe I should do it. So you cannot do it overnight. It depends on your psychophysical, your health situation, all that stuff. But if you're determined, you can do it. That's the point. That's what abhyasana means. What am I giving up? What am I gaining? Keep a diary. What am I gaining? What did I get done? What have I gained? And you have so much hearing and chanting. And Ekadasi is the day you pick up a few more. Well, you couldn't have time to do the rest of 2 weeks. You're throwing a meal or two. Big deal. I memorized a few shlokas. I didn't die. I memorized some songs. I danced with my friends all night long. Who's got time to dance with your friends all night long? Lovely, you know? And you won. It's not what you're giving up, it's what you won. Then you think, hey, that was fun. Let me do it again, you know? Let me raise the bar a little bit more. See, you got to think like that. And then naturally, when your senses are controlled, out of sight, out of mind. Even if you see it, it doesn't blow your mind. Dwaita Maharaj was making a joke about it. He says, Ekadasi, hey, I should fast. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, you think, it's Ekadasi, I should fast. But then about 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's your normal time for breakfast, and your senses are going, oh, right? Maybe I should just push it until noon. I'll eat fruits and push it at noon. Okay? But then at noon, if the pujari comes off the altar with those Ekadasi preparations, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, you made a determination. It's Ekadasi. Oh, it's Ekadasi? Click. You just turn your switch off. It's Ekadasi. What are you going to do? I'm going to stay up all night. I'm going to dance with my buddies. And I'm not going to eat. And that could be difficult. Ah, who gives a damn, you know? You know? So what? You made a decision. You're going to do it. That's all, you know, it's an individual decision. That built up gradually. Why? Because you saw what you're gaining, not what you're giving up. What are you gaining yourself? I became a better person. My relationships became better. And I didn't die, you know, fasting for 24 hours. Fasting is not the big deal. Jagran is the big deal. Staying up all night, that's the big deal. You can only do that when you got some really intense devotees who love to sing and hang with them and sing all night. Then you can do that. It's not a big deal fasting, to tell you frankly. It's a switch. That was easy. Staying up all night, that's the big deal. Next day, avoid your sleeping area and stay super busy on Dwadasi. That's the trick for Dwadasi. How does it work? Stay busy. It'll work. These are the tricks. And then you start to analyze Ekadasi and Dwadasi. Man, these were really enlivening. Where have I been all these years? Then you have to organize it. It's a party that is organized. Like you have a committee, you organize it from Ekadasi to Ekadasi. You're making your short-term plans for long-term prema. You're organizing it. And you're inviting other people that are organizing it. There's a nice Russian devotee, Brahmachari, who's taking sannyas this year. I'm going to go travel him. Because I want to see, how does he do it? He does Namahatta preaching like that to increase people's Ekadasi. And he does it. Moscow is like, they got bills on top of your bills there. It's the number fourth most expensive city in the world to live in. Yet he's got 100 to 300 people coming in the middle of the week on an Ekadasi day to dance all night with their friends. It takes a long time of work and organization to get mailed up. 300 people coming to dance all night long with their friends. Wait a minute. In the middle of the week. In the fourth most expensive city of the world. Wait a minute. How do they do it? I want to see with my own eyes. He sent me a few tidbits. One thing is, you greet the guest better than they've been greeted before. You have a crew that greets the guest, that loves the guest, right? Next thing he says, because Russia is extremely cold, we'll even wash their shoes for them. Next thing he said was you give them a gift, pocket-sized gift. You know, photo, tilak bulb, you know, some dried prasadam, stuff like that. Ash from Vrindavan, whatever, you know, dust from Vrindavan, something like that. Something they really like. Ooh, put it in the pocket, okay? Pocket size, okay? Give them a gift. Next is plenty of engagement. If you got the kids, you got the parents. So you have to have plenty of engagement for the kids, right? And then you have different engagements for the parents intellectually that they need. Every week, another PowerPoint presentation, something that they can look forward to. This is cool. I'm bringing my friends next time. Damn, why I didn't bring my friends, you know? Then from 10 o'clock onwards, the circuits shut down. Some people want to leave, and some people will stay. He said he put loving people, very sensitive, beautiful people of both sexes at the doors. You're not leaving, are you? Your association, I would never leave that, you know? I've got to go. Why? Well, my kid, my husband, my this, that, you know, like that. It's an example, okay? But you're going to miss the party. Are you ready to miss the party? Do you really need to miss the party? You know, it's like that. Then this is the lineup. This is who's leading the kirtan throughout the night. And these names are, well, I shouldn't miss that. I really like their kirtan style. The way he leads it, the way she leads it, this is great. I shouldn't miss that. Yeah, you're right. This is the lineup tonight. Wow. And you stay up all night and dance with your friends. And the wee hours, they have the better kirtaner guys. Wow. 2 o'clock in the morning. Wow. I should be there for that. You know? And then in the morning, they give the fruits. They worship the deity again. They have some deity and they worship him, you know, like that. And they bathe him with lots of charanama laced with yogurt, which cleanses the toxins out of the body. And everybody gets a lot of yogurt and charanamrit to take home with them. They'll drink it on the spot. Some will take it home with them, whatever. Yogurt cleanses the toxins. No intestinal explosion. The next thing is the fruit of the Ekadasi. They don't know what to do with it. Everybody's got, you know, their stupid kid that doesn't listen to them, or their parents that they're worried about, or their grandparents that they should have done something for. You know, like that. You can give the fruit to the deity and donate it to that, to the spiritual benefit of that person. But most people, they don't think very fast on their feet, he told me. So he asked them, please, the piety that you've gotten from this Ekadasi, you donate it to the Ekadasi. You donate it to the Ekadasi program. Somebody stayed up all night, dance. The pious credit from that, you donate it to the Ekadasi program. And they think, well, it's not a big deal. You know, it's not like a like a dollar or a ruble or a euro, you know. It's something subtle. Yeah, I can donate that, you know. It's not going to kill me. I can donate that. But it adds up. Woo! And they go from 100 people to 300 people by the result of that accumulated pious credits. Ta! Cool stuff. Cool stuff, you know. Yeah, and that's what could happen here also. This is an educational place. Sure, you could stay up all night with your friends. You have to organize it. And then you think, and then you have a committee. So you think, now that was fun. Now, based on the feedback from everybody else, what do you think we should do next week, you know, after 2 weeks? And you figure it out. Something for the kids, something for their, you know. And, you know, and the kids will do it, the kids will not do it. Some kids will stay up all night, some kids will not. And they have gutties, they have little, you know, places in the corners where kids can crash, you know, little kids can crash, you know. And they'll do it. If they want to sleep, they'll do it anyway, right? Like this. But if the kirtan is cool, then that attracts the parents not to sleep. Your senses are so wiped out by 1 o'clock. But don't stop moving, don't stop chanting, don't sit down. But if you got your buddies, and even if you want to sit down, you're exhausted, your buddies are pulling you by the hands. Come on, come and dance with us. Yeah, yeah, I should dance with you, yeah. You know? It pulls you up, it's great. It's nothing like your buddies to help you get moving, you know? It's lovely. And then you also talk privately, some harikata with your friend. And you should always have a lot of questions. Oh, if you have some questions and if you get an answer, you'll never forget that Ekadasi day for the rest of your life. That is the day I got the answer to that burning question. How lovely. That was the whole blessing of the whole Ekadasi, was I got the answer to that question. It's not what you're giving up. It's what do you gain. And you should plan. How is everybody going to gain? As a group, because we want them back after 2 weeks. And not only we want them back, we want it to be so enlivened that they're going to bring their friend with them. It's going to go from 100 people to 300 people. That's the idea. Yeah! And you know what? That could happen right here in Radhadesh too. Yeah. You just have a committee. It starts small now with a couple of groups of people that like it. Then you start thinking, you know, how do we increase it? How do we increase the sweetness? How do we increase it so it's lokihita, beneficial for everybody? How will people see that? Hey, look, if I ain't going to make that program, I'm stupid. If I ain't going to come to that program, I'm really going to miss out. I've got to see that program. I've got to commit to that program. They have to make it irresistibly attractive. Wow. So that's the idea. Hare Krishna. I'll take care of Krishna Balaram. Thank you very much.